This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:19 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana, Phil and Chuang. But in the meantime, we're turning our attention to the pandemic situation in Malaysia. Self-testing for COVID-19 has become the norm, with test kits available at pharmacies and grocery stores. But recently, the Ministry of Health has received many complaints over the accuracy of testing results. And in response, the Medical Device Authority was instructed to call all suppliers of COVID-19 self-test kits in the country to ensure that there was no drop in quality.
But meanwhile, the vaccination program for children continues in earnest, as for the second week of February, Malaysia recorded close to 17,000 COVID cases in children under 12, a sharp rise of 160% from the week before. And since its launch 3 weeks ago, registration for the children COVID-19 vaccination program, also known as PIC Kids, has exceeded 1 million.
But the PIC Kids program for children is facing another obstacle, because recently a 13-year-old boy who received his first vaccine on 30th December, he died 18 days later after receiving that first dose. So obviously this has caused huge anxiety and panic among parents of teenagers. Even Health DG Tan Sri Dr. Noor Hisham said he's still waiting for key reports, and the health department is investigating with the clinicians and the forensic team.
So to give some perspectives on these issues on self-testing and also how the pandemic is impacting children, we speak to Dr. Kuljit Singh, President of the Association of Private Hospitals Malaysia. Dr. Kuljit, thanks as always for joining us today. Let's start with how children are impacted by COVID-19. Could you share with us the observations regarding pediatric COVID-19 cases that you've gathered from your members?
Thank you very much. First and foremost, we have seen a sharp rise of pediatric patients coming to even private hospitals, and they are deemed to be positive. Fortunately, in most private hospitals, there are only a few which are actually filled up with pediatric patients, and there are many of the other private hospitals, they do not have any pediatric COVID patients in admission. Most parents sometimes choose to take the children back and observe because they have very mild symptoms. Having said that, the complication of COVID-19 in some of the children is not as many that we have seen in the private. But we are quite vigilant to that fact that our pediatricians have been trained. They have received a lot of new knowledge from the government partners in case there should be a complication of COVID. So I think the important thing here is to get them vaccinated quickly in view of the number of patients with the pediatric group that has got COVID at this stage.
So do you think, Dato, that the rising number of COVID school clusters, with that closures, should be considered to mitigate the spread?
Well, I think this decision of closing can be a little bit difficult, because school could be one area where probably the infection may spread, but there are also a lot of other social activities that are still going on. Children, parents tend to take children out to other places. So do we really think schools need to be again to be shut down? I think we need to look at data and see whether is that the real viable way of doing it. So I think because if we keep going back and forth in this decision, it is very difficult for us to progress. I think Ministry of Education and Ministry of Health, they are actually looking at this to make this decision whether this needs to be done or not.
I mean, I get your point that data is core, but you know, much of the fear is stoked by these unique cases, right? So a month ago, a teenage boy died 18 days after receiving his first vaccine dose. So what should we understand about the Ministry of Health investigation into this case? And what should the government do to address the concerns of parents?
I think that particular case, I think the investigation is still ongoing. Similarly, in the adult population, there have been reports to say that deaths or something had happened after a particular vaccine that was given to this particular patient. And then probably the death or the comorbid was related to the vaccine. I think all these things need to be proven, and sometimes it's difficult to prove. Are we going to say that this one patient who died, we are not sure, is it an isolated case or is it proven? We are still not sure yet. But this shouldn't become a fear factor that, you know, because of this one case, that, you know, parents should now decide that we should not vaccinate their kids. So the potential risk and danger of getting a complication from COVID is probably much higher. So I think we need to balance that. But let's wait for the report to see whether it's confirmatory that the cause of death is because of the vaccine.
Dr. Kulji, I'm going to turn our attention now to the self-testing kits. Many people are confused about the accuracy of COVID-19 self-test kits amid reported cases of contradicting results. Are some self-test kits better than others?
It's difficult to comment. How would you know that a self-test kit is well accurate and another self-test kit? Now, the ones that you do in a hospital is a PCR test, which is a molecular test, which actually detects the viral genetic material. It's called the viral RNA. That's the inner part of the virus, just to make it sound easy. And the sensitivity and specificity is definitely much higher, but it takes a lot of cost and time. Whereas an antigen is basically taking the protein coat that surrounds the RNA. So it's rapid and it is cheap. So I think my advice is, go to a pharmacy, a reputable pharmacy, and I think most of them would store kits that are actually approved by the Ministry of Health and by the MDA. I think it is important to go in that pathway. But now to say whether it's accurate or not accurate, if you find a negative test on an RTK and you are symptomatic, it's best to retest again on an RTK. And if it is still negative, then my suggestion is, and if you're symptomatic, to go and get a PCR test done. Sometimes the technique, the way this test is done, is probably may not be accurate, or the entire batch may have an issue. So try to change to another RTK kit and try to see whether it's still negative or not. So I think the ultimate thing, if you are not very sure and you have symptoms, do a PCR test.
Yeah, so I think what you're saying here is, you know, try different kind of makes to double test and confirm. Can you give us a sense, maybe, when should we select to do an RTK test versus when we should do a PCR test, you know, beyond just finding symptomatic cases like going out for bigger events and such?
I think the most important thing that we look is two things. If you're symptomatic and you know that you had a close contact, I think that takes the highest priority. That you know you had a close contact, someone in the office, someone in your home, then I think you have to be on a higher alert that, you know, you may be asymptomatic and you may still have COVID. And I think if you do this test and you're very sure your close contact was really close, I think then you need to get a PCR test done just to be on the safer side. But if you know that you are not aware of any close contact and you do not have symptoms, then I think you don't need to panic. You just have to do the RTK test and you wait. Because if you go to run to the hospital every time that, you know, you don't have any symptoms, then it's not going to be cost-effective and it's not going to be very practical in that manner. And I think that's the way we normally advise our patients, that number one, symptomatic and close contact, I think then I think some amount of caution needs to be taken.
Just to put you in a spot, do you think we've hit the peak in terms of cases?
Well, I think it is kind of plateaued if you look at the number. We have not gone over 30,000, if I'm not mistaken. We are still hovering around 26,000, 27,000. Maybe we have plateaued, and usually after this, you can see the decline of numbers coming down. But I think it's too early to say, because this particular wave is very infectious. And how infectious it can get with the economy running in its normal way, it is a little bit doubtful to make any prediction at this point of time. But if you notice, it is beginning to plateau.
Dr. Kuljit, thanks very much for speaking to us this morning. That was Dr. Kuljit Singh, President of the Association of Private Hospitals in Malaysia, talking to us about some of the themes that we're seeing in the pandemic at the moment, specifically relating to self-testing, as well as the vaccination of children and how important it is as a measure of protection against the pandemic.
Well, I mean, if you look at the COVID Now website, only 17% of children from 5 to 11 have been receiving their single first dose vaccination. Within the adolescent group 12 to 17, at least 93% have. But we have a lot more room to do for children under 11 years old.
BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.